Baruch said, good morning, good morning. Let us begin. So it's good to be back learning Shaar Bitachon in person. And we are picking up today in Perek Revi'i. Again, in the green edition, in the Hebrew edition, it's page 126. I don't know what it is in the art scroll. But hopefully, again, you've been following along. The shiurim have been recorded and posted on the Shaar Bitachon WhatsApp chat, as well as on the podcast and the website. So hopefully, again, keeping up. If not, they're short shiurim, so it's relatively easy to catch up as well. So remember, again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, because in yesterday's shiur, the Mechaber began a little bit of a new topic, and he spoke about over here that people find themselves in one of two, we'll call it, social settings in life. There are people who are alone and don't have anyone else, and then there are people who are part of a family unit. And the Mechaber was talking about the idea that a person has to cultivate a sense of bitachon no matter what their personal circumstance may be. So remember, again, he was speaking about loneliness. If a person is alone, then again, the opportunity they have is that they are freed from much worldly responsibility, and as such have the ability to spend that time and those resources on the cultivation of one's spiritual identity. So to this end, the Mechaber is as follows. He tells a story about one of the Prushim. Is actually an incredible, incredible story. Again, we've seen a couple of stories throughout Shaar Bitachon. What's of course very interesting, very often, is the characters in the story are not usually identified. So he quotes over here, Echad me'aprushim. Now, Parash over here, in this particular context, Parash over here is an ascetic. An ascetic tells us about a particular ascetic, Shenichnas l'medina achos, lahoros es yoshveh avodas elokim, who was a traveling ascetic, and it was his goal. It was like a magid to go ahead and give musr to different places. So he came to a particular city, and what happened? Vayimseim lovshim, he found something very interesting. Vayimseim lovshim seva echa, b'malbushim v'takshtem. He saw that they all wore the same color, same type of clothing, and same colored clothing. Right? They all looked exactly the same. V'ra'a kivsat, that's number one. Number two, v'ra'a kivreim ezal pischei bateim. He saw an interesting practice where their graves were next to their homes. Grave sites next to their homes. V'lo'ra'a b'neihem isha. And he saw that there were no women and children in the city. V'shal osam alzeh. He asked one of the residents of the city, what's going on over here? Right? What's happening over here? V'amru lo, mashanu lovshim seva echad. The fact that we all dress the same. Literally, we all wear the same color. We all dress the same. Shelo yehyeh nikar ha'ani min ha'asher. So that you should not be able to distinguish the rich from the poor. V'shelo yavo ha'asher le'esgaus le'esbar ba'ashro. Because we don't want the rich man to become arrogant because of his wealth. And I must listen to this. V'yavo ha'ani le'esbazos esal atzmo. And we don't want the poor person to become degraded in his own eyes. That the poor person should think, the little ghost says, how powerful this statement is, that his life above the ground is no better than his life below the ground. In other words, so the whole chap over here is, everyone should feel equal. The rich person shouldn't be a balgaiva, shouldn't be arrogant over the ani, and the ani should not feel badly about himself in his own eyes when he sees himself compared to others. That last phrase is so profound, that the ani sometimes thinks to himself, you know, my life above the ground is no different than my life below the ground. In other words, just like death is a deprivation of everything, so my life is the same thing. We don't want anyone feeling that way. Therefore, the way we alleviate or the way we address that concern is everyone dresses the same. Same color, same clothing. Good. Next, v'ne'emar al'echa mi'amalochim shayimus ariv ben avodov v'lohayir nikar b'neim. So again, this is a story within the story, right? So again, it was similar to, there's a mashal about a king, a story about a king who used to dress as a commoner v'lohayir nikar b'neim, and he was unable to distinguish him from his subjects. Again, sometimes the king, in order to remain humble, would often dress just like his servants. Fine, so that's number one. So we all dress the same. in order to maintain a constant and consistent sense of humility amongst us all. Bo says into this, and this is a strange practice, and that which we go ahead and we keep our graves right outside of our homes. In other words, Rabbi say, instead of having like a cemetery, people would be buried. There would be a grave site prepared right by the home for the particular person who lived in that home. Rabbi says, so ultimately again, why is the grave right outside the home? It's a musr. What's the musr? It's a pretty self-evident musr. That one day we all die. Right? And no matter what you accomplish in this world, no matter what you do, at the end of the day, life comes to an end. And that life, we don't know how long we have in life. So ultimately, again, it spurs us to accomplish each and every day. Furthermore, and I will say, we should be prepared to die. And I will say, it's a very profound statement. What does it mean to be prepared to die? So the truth is, remember, this is reminiscent of the statement of Chazal, Shuv Yom Echad Bifnei Misasecha, Do Tshuva one day before you die. Right? This way again, why? This way you're ready to die. Right? You're in a state of preparedness. Then we'll say, aye, the Shaila is, how do you know which day you're going to die? And the answer is, exactly. That's the point. As Shlomo HaMelech says, Bechol Eis Yiyu Begadecha Levanim. Your clothing should be white at all times, which is a reference to say that be ready. Person, in other words, it sounds a little morose, but it's not. It's actually very life affirming. Be ready to die at any moment. Have your life in order. Have your life in order. That should it come to a screeching halt, there's no unfinished business, right? You've done tshuva for the things you need to do. Your family's in a place that it needs to be. You're in a place that you need to be in. And so ultimately, again, keeping the grave right outside of the home was the ultimate reminder to constantly be prepared for death. He goes on, he said, And again, literally, we'll say, literally translated means that we should have the provisions prepared for us that we need to take us to this place of rest, which again is saying we should be prepared to die. But say, if you think about it, by the way, it's such a profound way to live. It sounds strange. The best way to live is to make sure you're prepared to die. In other words, the best way to live is to make sure whatever you need to do is done, or in the process of getting done, right? Whatever has to be fixed is in the process of being fixed or fixed. And again, there's nothing that's being kicked down the road because I don't know at the end of the day how much road I have in front of me. The best way to live is to live in a way in which I'm prepared to die. Next, again, prepare all the provisions. Next, Umash Shira Isa, Sheperashto Me'anashim Me'anabonim, and they said to this guy, this visiting Parush, and that which we said that there are no women and children here. He says, listen to this. Da ki achandu lahem kirya krova mikan. We took care of our wives and our children. They actually have, we set them up in a town close by. Kashi itztarech echad mimenu al davar medivreyem. Yelech eleim v'yashlich tzarkov yashar eleinu. And when someone from here needs something from the wives or from the children or just a visit, they go. They go, right? They go, they visit, and then they come back. Why? We'll say, why such a setup like this? It's incredible. So ultimately, again, because being in practice, interesting, being in proximity to your family really is a lot. Right, is a lot, right? It's a lot of responsibility, is right? It's a lot. It's a lot of distraction. Distraction is the wrong word. A family is not a distraction. But it's, in other words, that it creates. Let's just use a little translation. We saw the stress, the loss, the exertion, and the toil that would come in being in close proximity. And the menucha that one has when there is distance from this. So we found that by keeping our families in a town close by, we can make sure to provide for all of their needs, right? You have to take care of them. You can also make sure that when we need to visit, they're close by. But on a day-to-day level, we have the ability to devote ourselves to spiritual matters. And I both say, obviously, right? This is not the norm. This is not the norm, right? Remember, again, this was a Prushim colony, right? So the Prushim colony, again, their whole chap is distancing themselves. They're ascetics. They're ascetics. That's what's happening over here. So I'll say, so what happened? So this guy who was this visiting Parush, he sees all of this. Vayitvu divrayim be'enei ha-parush. So their words made a lot of sense in the eyes of this parush. Vayvarech osam vayashem be'inyanam. He blessed them and ultimately again gave them a shkoyach. And I will say, so remember again, let's get context. Is the Mechaber advocating for this? No. Remember, I will say, what is he trying to focus on over here? He's saying that in life, people often find themselves in one of two situations. Either in a state of being alone, without family. And remember, what is he trying to do? He's trying to provide context, or better stated, he's trying to provide perspective. What do you do if you're alone? I will say, does anyone really choose to be alone? I mean, there are. It's fascinating. There's actually just an article in the Wall Street Journal about... Oh, whatever. No. I say, so again, quite fascinating though. But again, so I say, so do people generally choose to be alone? So sometimes yes, but sometimes not. Sometimes those are just the life circumstances in which I find myself. So essentially what the Mechaber is saying is, whatever your life circumstances, if it's that you're alone, or if it's that you're with family, maximize those circumstances. So if I am alone, how do I maximize those circumstances? Recognize that you are freed from a lot of the responsibilities which normally distract a person from cultivating their personalistic spirituality. And if you're freed from those circumstances, maximize it. Maximize it. Use that time and use those resources in the creation of a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll stop over for today. So again, I just want to be clear. The Mechaber is not advocating for this. The Mechaber is not saying, you know, move to a parush colony. But again, what the Mechaber is teaching us is that sometimes in life you don't necessarily get to choose your life circumstances. What you can choose is how to take your circumstances that you have and maximize them. So if you are alone in life, the Mechaber says, recognize that does create an incredible opportunity for the maximization and cultivation of one's personalistic spirituality. Incredible. So we'll stop over for today. Emeret Hashem will move on to category number 2, a person who does have a mishpach, a person who does have other familial responsibilities. Emeret Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.